Gemara in the second parak of Chagiga, quote the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim that says Kishal Nali Yamim Mishanim Mishahayu Lefanecha Demenayam Mishabara Alekim Adam Al Ha'Adam Al Ha'aretz Mekseh Hashemayim Mekseh Hashemayim and so on and so forth. So the simple pshat of the pasuk means one thing. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk. Kishal Nali Yamim Mishanim Mishahayu Lefanecha. You have a right to ask questions and to delve into history and science and so on. Only the minayam shabar lekim adam al haaretz. Only from that day on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Harishon, and before whatever happened in the Sheishis Mebreishis, we're not allowed to delve into. We keep on printing in the newspapers all kinds of theories about the Big Bang, how the world came into existence. So the Gemara says that it's prohibited to delve into that. We're committed to study physics and chemistry and biology and everything after Adam HaRishon was created. The Medrash Rabbah has such a comment also on today's Sedra. The same doesn't quote that pasuk that the Gemara Chagiga quotes a different pasuk. Quotes a different pasuk from Mishle that says that Kvod Elokim Hester Dovar, Kvod Malachim Chakor Dovar. So the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was nobody there until he created Adam HaRishon, so he was Elokim. He wasn't considered a Melech. Ein Melech v'lo Yom. You're not called a Melech unless you're a Melech over some people. That's how we say in the beginning of Adon Olam Mishan Tov. There is not so much after Tov, Azan Melech Shemonikov. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the creation, then Azayin Melech Shemonikot. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called the Melech, because before he created Adam HaRishon, he wasn't called the Melech. At that time, the Sheishis Mebreishis, he was only labeled as Elokim. So the Medrash comments on that pasuk in Mishlei that Kvod Elokim Hester Dover refers to whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and the Sheishis Mebreishis, that's supposed to be the Seisa. That's in Kabbalah. If a person knows Kabbalah, so that's what the Gemara says also. The Mishnah beginning of the second parak in Chagiga says, in Darshim, the Maisa Bereshis, in public. You're not supposed to teach this in public, only privately. Those who know Kabbalah should transmit it privately to students. And from the time that Adam HaRishon was created, from that time on, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Melech Hazayin Melech Shemoni Kross. And then the other half of the pasuk in Mishnah applies, that Kvod Malachim, it's the honor and the glory of a king to delve into everything, to delve into the halachas, and to delve into the biology and the physics and the chemistry and the astronomy and everything else, and the mathematics and everything else that Hashem created in the world. That's what the Ramban comments on the opening Rashi. Rashi quotes the Medrash, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. That's what it says in the Medrash. Some say that the reason why Rashi quoted the Medrash is because his father's name was Yitzchak. Aben Shlomo Yitzchaki. He wanted to quote a Medrash to honor his father, so he quoted Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. I don't know. The Medrash says Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. He didn't make it up. Rashi didn't make up the name. It's not that he said his father said this. I mean, maybe that's the reason why he quoted this Medrash first. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak could be, whatever. So he quotes in the Medrash, it says Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Why does the Torah begin with Bereishis? Why doesn't it begin with HaKadosh Alachem Rosh Chodashim, which is the mitzvah Yishanah Shem Tavu Bar Yisrael? So the Ramban comments over here on Chumash, what do you mean? The Torah doesn't have to begin from Bereishis. The Torah has to teach us not only the Deen, the Torah has to teach us the proper Hashkafa. The Torah has to tell us that that God exists and God created the world and so on and so forth. God created the world, Yesh Mayai. So what do you mean? You don't need any of this. You need this for Amunah, for Hashkafa. So the Ramban gives a difficult answer. It's a little unclear. It's unclear what he answers. He says that we don't really understand what it says anyway in the Sheishis Mebreishis, because we're not supposed to delve into it. Only one who knows Kabbalah, only one who's roy to study Kabbalah, understands what's going on. So the whole thing is a puzzle and an enigma anyway. So why does it take up so much space in the Chumash? We don't know what it means anyway. So the gist of the whole story is, as the Medrash says, Karach Maisu Higiliyamo Losis Lahem Nachlos Goy. That Kadosh Baruch Hu recorded this in the Chumash. to teach us that he's the big boss over everything, and he has the right to give the world to whomever he chooses, and he gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, and it belongs to us. The Umos HaOlam always say, they still say, that we stole Eretz Yisrael. So the reason for the Torah writing this whole introduction that we really don't understand, the bottom line is, what we do understand is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the big boss, and he gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu and to his descendants in no kashya. The Mepharshim talk about this medrash also. What do you mean, Koyach? Koyach, Meister Higidli Amo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us about the Bria Shamayim Ha'aretz, which we don't understand anyway, Losus Lahem Nachlos Goyim. In order to say that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. What? How does that defend our position in the United Nations? The United Nations always says, listen at them. More and more nations are saying the Jewish people are going on. So they're going to say, no, but it says in the Torah that we're entitled to Eretz Yisrael. Manushat, if they believe what it says in the Torah, so it says it later. It says it by Avraham Avinu. So what do you need the whole introduction over here? And if they don't believe in what it says in the Torah, so what does it help over here? It's Manushat. If the people, if the Yom HaSalem are going to believe in the Torah, so they believe what it says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Avraham Avinu. So what's the kasha? What do you need this whole introduction for? So some of Farshim say that the introduction is needed for us, not for the Yom HaSalem, because the Jews keep on hearing this from the Yom HaSalem, listen at them. So we start to talk it into ourselves. Maybe we are listening. Maybe we should share. Share and share alike. Now that's what you teach little children. Don't you share your toys with other people. Don't you want to share Eretz Yisrael with the poor Palestinians? So the Torah writes this whole introduction over here that we're not supposed to share. Koyach Ma'aseh Higid Liyamo. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Briyash Ma'amor to toss not to the Yom HaSalem. It's not that this introduction is going to clinch it as far as the Yom HaSalem is concerned. As far as the Yom HaSalem, either they believe in what it says later in Lech Lecha and Vayera Ha'isara. Kodesh Baruch Hu promised Eretz Yisrael to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, to their descendants. So they don't believe. They don't believe they're not going to, it's not going to make it any better. That it's going to have variations for other people. But the Torah wrote this introduction, Liyamo, we shouldn't talk it into ourselves that we are listening. There's nothing wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he has the right to give it to whomever he wants, and he decides what's Yosher and what's right and just. And he decided that Eretz Yisrael should always belong to the Jewish people. And his son Alana gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. Ramban points out in the opening comment on Chumash that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world Yesh Mayayin. There was nothing there before. So some of the there were some Rishonim who didn't believe in Bria Yesh Mayayin. Their opinion has not been accepted. We assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world Yesh Mayayin. In other words, the basic nature of everything is that it really doesn't exist. It doesn't make sense that anything exists. Ain't oid movadoi doesn't only mean that there's no other God other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that basically nothing else exists, because before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, nothing else did exist. He was the only thing that was in existence. It wasn't that there's some substance that he took and he made the world from the substance. But then he has a partner. There's God and then there's the substance. You say ain't oid movadoi, there's nothing else that exists outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no other matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created matter, it created time, it created space, it created everything Yesh Mayayin. So the nature of everything really is that nothing really exists. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it into existence, so that's really a miracle. It's a miracle of Bria. And if he brings it into existence, it should come into existence as an S, and then it should flop back into non-existence a moment later. After this happens, let's say I throw something up. So the nature of everything is that it's sitting on the ground because of the gravity, whatever. So if I throw it up, it's not going to stay there forever. It's going to fall down after a second. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it should really flop back into non-existence after he created it. But the Ramban explains, that's why he keeps on saying, Vayara Lekim Kitov, Vayara Lekim Kitov. Kitov doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is passing judgment on his Bria, that he made the trees, and he looked at it and he said, hey, that's cute. Then he made Adam and he made the behemoth, and he said, hey, that's nice. Ramban asked me, Manavshach, did Ribbono Shel Olam see a human being has chalomos, how he's going to do it? He's going to get married and he's going to get a job and he's going to have such a home and he's going to have so many children and he's going to have flowers growing in the front and he's going to make a living, and then in real life it doesn't always turn out like that. It's not exactly so. The home isn't like that, the girl isn't like that, and the children are not like that. The flowers are not like that. We have dreams. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't dream. Whatever he dreams, that's what comes into existence. So the Ramban asked the Baruch Shah, if the Baruch Shalom wanted to create a cute world, a pretty world, a nice world, so it's going to come out nice. If he wanted to create an ugly world, it's going to come out ugly. It's not going to function well. So the Baruch Shah, what do you mean? He created it, and then he looked back and he judged in retrospect, and he says, hey, Bayar Alekim Kito. Hey, that's nice. What do you mean he's passing judgment? If that's the way he wanted it to come out, of course, that's the way it came out. If he wouldn't want it to come out, it didn't happen like that. The Ramban explains that Kito isn't passing judgment. It's part of the Bria, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a tzivu that he wants everything to continue to exist. And it's not for that tzivui, not for the Dvar Hashem Ki Tov, that I want everything to continue to exist the way I just made it, everything would flop back into non-existence, which is its basic nature. The nature of the whole world is that ain't Od no Bamet. There's nothing else that exists outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whenever you create something, it's a nest. It only exists temporarily. Just for a second. That's what we mean when we say in the davening, Macharish Butuva B'chol Yom Tomid Masri Bereshis. The Bala Tanya has a long essay about this. In the second half of the Tanya, the Chelek Sheni, that's called Shara Yichud Goh Amuno, which apparently was written before the first Chelek. I don't know exactly why it's printed as the second Chelek. So when you read it, it seems pretty clear it was written before the first Chelek. So he has a long essay about this. That Macharish Butuva B'chol Yom Tomid Masri Bereshis means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continued desire and wish that everything should continue to exist the way he created it is like a continued Bria. And if not for that continued wish and desire that everything should continue, it would flop back into non-existence. Because we believe that everything was created Yeshmiyai, that the nature of everything was that it doesn't exist. The Bala Tanya explains that's why we believe in Yediyas Hashem, that Hashem knows everything that's happening. See, if I come on the scene, I wasn't here from the beginning of time. I was born at a certain time. And then I come into the world and there are trees, I take a hatchet, I chop down a tree, I take a hammer and I take nails and I take a saw. The saw was made by somebody else, the hammer was made in a different factory, the nail was made in a different factory, the tree. I cut down a tree, I chop it into pieces, I make a table and a chair, and then even after I die, after I walk away, and after I die, years later, the table and the chair will still remain, the house that I built will still remain. Why? Because all the things existed before I came on the scene. I didn't create the Yeshmiyai. Everything was there. I just changed it from one shape to the other, from one form to the other. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the whole world, how can one think that there is no Hashgacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what's happening? If he would know what's happening, everything would flop back into non-existence. The nature of everything is that nothing exists. That's what it means, Ein Od Mavada, not just to know other deities, aside from God. There's nothing else that exists. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought everything into existence, Yesh Meyayin. And because of the Tzivui Hashem, Bayar Alekim Kitoi, that's what the Ramban understands, Bayar Alekim Kitoi, because of the Tzivui Hashem, he wants everything to continue to exist. So that's why things continue to exist the way he set them up in Sheshis Migration. Everything continues to exist. He wants it. He continues to want it to function. So obviously he knows what's happening. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would kibayoha be Messiah Das on the world for one moment, he wouldn't be thinking about what's happening. The whole world would flop back into non-existence. So the fact that everything's still, the fact that we're all still here, and the building is still here, and the trees are still here, the fact that time and space are still here, it's obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has Yidi and he knows what's happening. Everywhere in the world, it's not the same as a boss of a dumb who makes a house and he walks away. The raw materials were there from before. The Bala Tanya explains that's the pasuk that says in Tehillim, Yoram Hashem Dvar Chalitza Bashamayim, that the Dvar Hashem, that the Asura Mamar Shebehem Livra Ha'ilam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Yihiyori, Yihirakia, and Yikavu Amayim, and all the Asura Mamar, Yoram Hashem Dvar Chalitza Bashamayim, the Dvar Hashem remains in heaven as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadish B'chol Yom Tomid, B'chol Rega, Ma'isi Bereshis, his desire, his wish that everything should continue to remain in existence is what causes it to continue to exist. Otherwise it wouldn't exist. Rashi on Chumash has an interesting comment. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Taninim HaGdoilim, so Rashi quotes a Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Leviathan Zohar in a Keva, and then he killed in a cave and he pickled it, he put it away for the tzaddikim lasid lavai. Divri Agoda, Rashi quotes on Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Taninim Agdam Divri Agoda, Horegas on a cave on Malchal Tzadikim. He salted it, he pickled it, he put it away in the freezer. So what exactly is that all about? Isn't fresh fish healthier and tastier than fish that's in the freezer for 6,000 years? It's almost 6,000 years old. Why don't you go fishing now? Get another fish. That's what the Chavetz Chaim talks about. And then there's also another medrash that the Chazal talk about, a popular notion in the medrash that is Lossi Lava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward the tzaddikim, is going to give them the Yayin HaMeshumar. What is the Yayin HaMeshumar? That's barrels of wine from the grapes that were created in Sheshes Mei Bereishis, from the grapes of the original grapes. Also, you make fresh wine, tastes better. If you make fresh wine, it's grape juice, not wine. You let it age a little bit, but if it ages too long, it gets spoiled. So why should the Rebbeinu Shalom give us Yayin HaMeshumar? That's going to be the reward, Lossi Lava, for the tzaddikim. Yayin HaMeshumar Banavav Misheshes Yimei Bereishis. Such old, stale grapes. How do we keep them in the freezer? Also in the freezer, and he's going to squeeze it out. Lossi Lava, it's very strange. What is it all? What are they driving at? And I thought it's kind of one of his essays, and the collected essays, quotes of Gemara. The Seat of Hashem Mishor Por. The Seat of Hashem Mishor Por. The Seat of Hashem Mishor Por. What is the Shor Por? So the Gemara says, Shor Shehu Par. Shekainos of Kodmos Le Paisoiso. So the Gemara says that the original Shor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Minho Adoma, that came out from the earth, gave birth to babies, and those babies gave birth to babies, and we have Benachaben Arayam Azeh, we have behemoths roaming around the whole world today also. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Masechus Rosh Hashanah, the Midrashim have it also, that Adam Arishan brought a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brought that original shor as a carbon. You have to bring, what's the difference, that original shor? The shor par was the original shor. What's the difference? It gets old, no? A young shor would be healthier. What do you mean, the old shor? The Chavetz Chaim says, Atzad HaShor Shebehen, apparently the Chazal had an understanding. We don't know exactly fully what this means, but a little bit, but, at least a Berach Moshe, what it means is that the original thing that was created, B'dvar Hashem, is that it's stronger and healthier and more valuable than the Toldus and the Toldus same Shabbat Toldus. The original grapes had seeds, and those seeds were planted later, and they made other grape vines, and they had seeds, and those all the grapes that you have today, yeah, they're also good. But apparently the Chazal understood somehow that the original grapes that were created with the original Dvar Hashem, not the Toldus and the Toldus same of the Toldus, was better. So that's what they understood by the Vadyasa, and that's what they understood by the Yayin HaMeshumar Banav of Misheshes and Ebreishes, and that's what they understood the Seat of Hashem Yishor Por. That the original Shor Por was that this something special and something better than all of the consequent things. So the Chafetz Chaim says, in contrast, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, that's also called the Dvar Hashem. The Rosh Hashanah dictated the Torah, so Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter. So the Chachamim read in between the lines, and then they developed halachas based on Torah Shebaal Peh, and then you develop halachas based on that. And in every generation, like the Netziv gives in his introduction to the Shultis, he gives you a whole description of the development of the Torah Shemal Peh. Like in mathematics or in physics or in any discipline, in every generation, you build on what you have in the earlier generation until it keeps on developing bigger, such a big body of knowledge. Because the more knowledge you have, the more information you have, so you can put everything all together and get more Toldos and more Toldos. And one might have thought, the Chavetz Chaim said, one might have thought that the original Dinim that the Rebbeinu Shlom proclaimed, the Dvar Hashem, perhaps one will think that those are more valuable and more precious than the halachas that were developed by reading in between the lines, and the development of the development of the development of the later generations. Rav Moshe Feinstein was Mechadish something based on the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, was Mechadish based on a Shach, and the Shach said it based on a Matit, and Matit said it based on a Rosh, and the Rosh said it based on a Tesis, and the Tesis said it based on a Gemara, and the Gemara said it based on a Tana, and the Tana based on that. It's already told the same. So one might think that the original level, the original Dvar Hashem, what came out from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's more valuable, more precious. So he points out that it's not so. The original totally Teres Picha, may also dissolve a test of Teres Picha, doesn't only refer to the original Torah that came out from the Piv Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. like the things that were created with the Asara Mamoros. No, all the Torah is called Torah Spicha. Even the Torah is told the same. It's covered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chabibim Divrei Sofrim Yesem Yeim Shel Torah. The Divrei Sofrim are more precious by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we develop the Torah further, it's endless. When it comes to Torah, it's not the same as the rest of the Teva. That whatever was created with Dvar Hashem is more precious and more valuable. All the Torah that's developed, if it's Emes the Torah, the false Torah is not. But if it's Emes the Torah, then it's just as precious as the original Dvar Hashem that was given by direct dictation. Because we assume that that membrane and medrash that appears in many of the Torahs, that medrash is not to be taken literally, that everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. It means everything is contained in what was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara has a medrash talk on the pasuk later in Reishis. There, Sefer told the Sodom. So the Gemara has a comment. What do you mean, Zeh Sefer told the Sodom? What do you mean, the Chumash is the Sefer told the Sodom? So the Gemara says that that phrase in the passage is alluding to the Sefer Shal Adam Arishan. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Arishan a Sefer that had all of the future history, the development of the whole world, and the development of the Torah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's religion. So he has to watch that the world goes in the direction that he wants it to go, and that the religion, the Torah, should go in the direction that he wants it to go. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu supervises over everything. So in this Sefer Shal Adam Arishan, it contains Dor V'Dorshav, Dor Dor V'Chachamav, Dor Dor V'Seichav. It has the list of how history is going to go and how the development of the Torah is going to go. So the Gemara has snatches of this quotations. Most of the Tanoim and Amoraim never saw this. They heard there was such a book, but they never saw it. So some of them who had a glimpse of it quote snatches from this Sefer Shal Adam Arishan. So they quote that Rebbe Reb Chanina Asoif HaMishnah, and Rabbeinu Rav Ashi Asoif HaRoh, and Rabbi Shmuel is going to come a generation going to be Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi is going to get smicha, and Shmuel is going to be Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. And this was all determined in advance. This is part of the development of the Torah Shmalped. So the Masha says, what does that mean? That Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. So the Masha understands what it means is that Hilchasaki Rabbi Surik Yishmol Bedinit. When it comes to Yisra Behetu, the din is going to be like Rab, usually. And only a moment is the din is going to be like Shmuel. That's why Shmuel didn't have the smicha. Shmuel is going to be Chacham Yiskiri. He was an astronomer. Rebbe Lo Yiskiri is not going to be known as a Rebbe. It means an Yisra Behetu. His opinion will generally not be accepted. And that's what it means. Rabbeinu Rav Ashi Sofaroz also has to do with the development of the Torah Shabbat. That means that at that point, at the time of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, that's the close of its kufa in the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The later Chachamim cannot be chelek, and the earlier Chachamim. Up until the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, because Mishnah writes in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, up until the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, everyone from a later generation has the right to disagree with anyone from an earlier generation. There's no halacha that just because somebody came before, you're not allowed to disagree. And every generation, Yiftach has a right to express his opinion. Shmuel has a right. Everyone, even though it's clear that one knows how to learn better than the other, if he's qualified to express an opinion, sometimes people are not qualified, but if one is qualified to express an opinion, that is entitled to express his opinion even in disagreement with people who are clearly greater than him. So up until the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanoim. Usually they didn't. That's because Mishnah tells us usually they didn't. But also we didn't have a right to disagree with Tanoim. And every so often you have an Amoraim who disagrees with all of Tanoim, and we pass for like the Amoraim. That's up until the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. There was a major change in the Masorah, and it's a lower level. After Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, some major change occurred. And from that time on, there's a lower level of Masorah. So the Achrayim have a right to disagree with the Rishayim. The Rishayim have a right to disagree with the Gonim. All the people in that kufa have a right to express their opinion. But no one has a right to disagree with the Pesach that has already been established by Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. That's the meaning of that line in the Sefer Shal Adam Arishan. Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, Sof HaRoh. And then Sof HaMishnah also apparently has some significance. That the Chazon Ish talks about that. What does that mean, Sof HaMishnah? What's the difference between the Tana and Amora? What's Rebbe Reb Chanina, Sof HaMishnah? So that's also Gemara the Chazon Ish points out. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah in the first parak that the world is going to last 6,000 years. Rekeach says that the remez for this notion is that in the opening pasuk in Bereishis there are six aleph, and aleph stands for aleph, a thousand. Bereishis has one aleph, Bara has one aleph, Elokim has one aleph, and so on. Yes, Ha'oretz. He says there are six aleph representing the sheishes aleph, the 6,000 years that the world is going to last. The Gemara says the breakdown of the 6,000 years. So Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah, and Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says the breakdown is two aleph in 2,000 years is tohu till the year 2000, and then begins Torah. What happened in the year 2000? So the Gemara points out that Avram Avinu was born. If you just add all the years when Adam Rishon gave birth to Sheis, when Sheis gave birth to his Adam Sheis Enosh and Canaan, Mahalal, all the generations. So if you just add up all the years, so it says in the Chumash that Avram Avinu was born in the year 1948, the Bria Sova. And then the Gemara says we have a tradition when Avram Avinu reached the age of 52, that was the year 2000. He was born in 1948, so at the age of 52 is 2000. So that's when it says Hanefesh Hasherasa Bechor. That's when he started to preach monotheism to the whole world. So the Gemara says that's the beginning of the Shnei Alafim Torah, when he was learning on his own before Hanefesh Hasherasa Bechor, and that's not called Torah. Torah means publicizing Torah. Hanefesh Hasherasa Bechor. So the Gemara says the Shnei Alafim Torah that goes till the year 4000. Then from the year 4000 till the year 6000 is called the Zman of the Bias HaMashiach. Mashiach can come any time. The added tradition is Mashiach is not going to come before the year 2000, before the year 4000. According to the way we count history, the year 4000 was the year 240. So before the year 240, the way the Christians count now, so the Tanaim had a tradition that Mashiach is not going to come. That's what they all told Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba was the Melech HaMashiach, and he supported him. And they told him, Yalo Asavim Baruch Hayech, about dying Ben David Loi Boa. You're going to be pushing daisies. They told him, you're going to be dead and buried, and there'll be grass growing on top of your grave, and Mashiach will still not come. Because they all had a tradition. He didn't have that tradition, Rabbi Akiva. All the other Tanoim had a tradition. Mashiach is not going to come, the Derech HaTeva, unless it's going to be, Rabbi Shlomo Malkus has the right to change his mind. He can change the plan. But the original plan is that Mashiach is supposed to come sometime after the year 4000. So the Chazon Ish understands that Gemara can mean Shnei Alafim Torah, that only Shnei Alafim Torah. It's not that the Torah continues into the last 2,000 years. The Torah is only in those 2,000 years. From the time that Avraham Avinu reached the age of 52, Hanefesh Hasherasa Bechor, until the year approximately 240. Till the year that's after the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died around the year 220. So soon after that period. So that's what it means in the Sefer Shalom the Marishan that Rebbe, Reb Chanina, Asof HaMishnah. That was the end of the period Al-Pidin of Shnei Alafim Torah. What is the halachic relevance though? But people are still learning today. The Chazon Ish is still writing his Sforim today. The Mashal is still writing. Everybody's still learning today also. There were Rishonim and Achronim and Amoraim. Everybody lived after the year 240. So what does that mean? So the Chazon Ish explains what he thinks that means Al-Pidin. He thinks that also has halachic relevance. He says that everything, he understands everything that it says there in the Sefer Shalom Arishon has to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam watching over the development of the history of the world. Are you all the Ribbono Shel Olam also? Dor Dor V'Darsha, Dor Dor V'Sofer, Dor Dor V'Chachama. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, and it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. So he's going to watch over the world that things should develop in the direction that he wants them to develop. People have b'chira chofshi, but within certain limitations, within a realm. So the world is leading toward the direction that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to lead, and the Torah is also leading in the direction that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to lead. So this Sefer Shalom HaMarishan has these points mentioned. So also another snatch from the Sefer Shalom HaMarishan that appears in the Gemara. These are the only four that the Gemara has. Rabbi Reb Chanina Sof HaMishnah, Rabbi Avashi Sof HaRoah, Rabbi Shmuel, Chacham Yiskiri, Rabbi Lo Yiskiri, that's in Bava Metzia Tevav. And then the Gemara has in Menachos and in other places about HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the way the Torah is going to develop in the later generations, and he showed him a video, so to speak, of Rebbe Akiva giving a shiur, and it was such a fantastic shiur. Moshe Rabbeinu said, so what do you get? Why don't you give the Torah by him? What do you give the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I want you to give the Torah, and he should, and it's going to be developed over the years and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting and listening to the shiur and didn't understand one word. What's going on? And he was surprised. Chol Shadayt, he didn't know what's going on until he sees in the video way one of the Talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva, where'd you get that from? Rabbi Akiva showing world of Dinim, and then he said, where'd you get that from? He said, that's Halacha Moshe Mishina. So it was not a Daita. So what does it mean? what Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad why they didn't mention him. He thought he was a big snacker. He thought it's going to say on every chumash written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So he felt bad why Rabbi Akiva in the video didn't mention his name. They finally mentioned his name, so he was happy. That's what it means. They told me that in the Torah Shleima, it has on the first page, Torah Shleima written by Rabbi Mendel Kasha. So his grandchildren always thought that he wrote the chumash. Mendel Kasha's grandchildren, they were brought up to think that their grandfather wrote the Chamishu Chumashi Torah. It says written by... They didn't realize it means the pirish on the bottom of the page. It doesn't go on the text on top. So what does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad that he didn't mention his name. He's not the author. He's just the publisher. He's the printer. He wrote it. He's the cipher. What did he feel bad about? And then finally Rabbi Akiva says, oh, that's Halacha Mashisa. Halacha Mashisa. So he's happy. At least he got his name in. That's what it means. So a lot of the Mefarshim say it doesn't mean that. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. The Chol Shadaka, he thought that there was a zeal of Hatera. He thought that everything was being distorted because he didn't understand one word. They're talking about an Yisrael Gabra with an Yisrael Chepsa, with a Chalois, with a Kiyam, with a Malois, a whole bunch of highfalutin words. He said, they never heard of the vocabulary, the dictionary. He doesn't know what they're talking about. He said, well, what did they distort my Torah? That's not what I gave them. Until he hears Rabbi Akiva say, no, that's Allah HaMashim Sinai. So he realized that everything was all based on what he was given at Har Sinai. And everything was an extension and an extension of an extension that is told us and told us and told us, told us. So the Pashtus is when the Midrashim have the Loshim, they call Masha Talmud Rasa Gosu B'chad his name of Allah HaMashim Sinai. It says as a whole introduction to his sefer about that. He writes that he hopes that he's a Talmud Vasi, that what he says is Zenis, and maybe that it's all falsehood. He talks about this, what he says, he understands all occupied. Let me just name Allah HaMashim Sinai. The people are Machadish in every generation. Name Allah HaMashim Sinai means that it's contained within what Moshe Rabbeinu was given at Har Sinai. Like a Marshal Ahmad Abedema, if you show Euclid, the George Washington Bridge, and you tell him that this bridge was based on Euclidean geometry, you say, what has it got to do? It doesn't have anything to do. So if you sit him down for a few days and you explain to him, you had these theorems. Based on those theorems, in the next generation, they made more theorems. Based on those theorems, they made more theorems. And every generation, you keep on adding on more and more with rigorous proofs. It has to be so because of this, because of that. You have a rigorous proof for everything. And then, after a couple of years, you'll develop enough geometry or whatever to be able to build a bridge on it. So that's considered the George Washington Bridge. It was Nemolo Le Euclid. It's all based on Euclidean geometry. It's not that he didn't write in his book, but it's told the same of Euclid. And it's just as good. It's just as good by right the bridge stands. Because there's a rigorous proof for everything. So the same, that's what the Chofetz Chaim says over here. It told the same. It doesn't mean literally Nemolo Le Moshe. It means that it's all contained within the Talmud Rosic says. A guy writes an essay in the Tzitzis Kotel, it's not necessarily a Talmud Vasik. Tzitzis writes in his introduction, he's not sure that he's a Talmud Vasik. The Talmud Chaimer, for those of us who are less than Tzitzis, can never be too sure. But we assume everything is contained within it. If you really have a rigorous proof, you're never going to have. And Allah, you never have a rigorous proof. That's how the Muhammad writes in his introduction to his Sefer on the Rif. He says that Talmud is not like Tishboris. It's not like geometry. You can never have a rigorous proof. You can always give a hesbah why this is different from that. And so, the rigorous proof you never have. But if you have this, if it's a Talmud Vasik working on it, and he develops an idea based on earlier ideas, everything is told the same. So everything is considered like contained within the original, has the same tokus as the original. The Chumash speaks of a term of rakia. Yi rakia of the Seich HaMoyim, Yi Mabdal Beimayim LaMoyim. It means the sky. It doesn't refer to something that Elam is all yet. Rakia means the sky. Taislis in Erevin has that this term rakia is a halachic concept. The Gemara has a suffix whether yesh tchum l'malam yasar tfochim. One is not permitted to go chutz tchum. According to some Tanaim and some Mishnayim, this is sometimes a din deraisa, the din of tchum. According to the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch Pasuk that all of tchum is only the Rabban. But the concept of rakia is still relevant on the level of deraisa. So the Gemara has it. The Gemara in the middle of Erevin talks about not going chutz tchum on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara has a suffix. What if the person is going chutz l'tchum, but he doesn't have his feet, he doesn't have his 2 feet on the floor, he's not walking on the ground, nor is he walking on stilts within 10 tefachim to the ground. He's somehow walking on stilts above 10 tefachim, or he's flying in the air, if that would be possible. The guy's flying in an airplane. Okay. So is there a prohibition of Chumim to go if he can control it? Is there an issur of going chutz l'tchum if the guy's lamayla mi'asar ha'tfachim? Maybe the din of Chumim is only when you're on the ground or you're mitzurif to the ground, toch asar ha'tfachim. But lamayla mi'asar ha'tfachim, you're not mitzurif. So that's a suffix in the Gemara. So Tesis has a kasha, a difficulty with the Gemara. So Tesis says the whole suffix of the Gemara is only from above asar ha'tfachim ad l'rakia. But once you reach barakia, once you reach places, defines it. Above the clouds is considered, in the clouds, or above the clouds is considered barakia. Then for sure, Taisus says there's no din of Kumin. There's no din of Kumin. Taisus answers Akasha based on that. So the Pashtus is that even if one should assume that this Nafkamin is only the Rabbanon, the Ramah Pashtus in Hilchos Shabbos, that all of Kumin is only the Rabbanon. Mechaber quotes the Ramah and the Rif, that it could be the Kumin of Yud Beis Mil is the Raisa. The Machaber says you should treat that as a Sofik Deraisa. Maybe Kumin Yud Beis Mil is Deraisa. The Ramah says, based on the Balei HaTesis, that we don't pass like that. The Ashkenazim hold that all Kumin is only the Rabbanon. So even if one should assume that that Nafkamina that Taisus has is only the Rabbanon, but there is a Din Deraisa where this is relevant. There is a Mishnah in Aholos where it says that if you have a dead body, a Mesi Sos Mentami Bemagam Masa Uba Ohol. What does Ohel mean? So there are three kinds of Ohel. Somehow we're used to the lowest level of Ohel, but there are three kinds of Ohel. There's one Ohel if I lean on top of the mace. Another Ohel, they're carrying the mace on top. The mace is flying on top of my head, or they're carrying the mace on top of me. And the third Ohel is what we call Ohel Am Shofet. The mace is over there, and I'm over here. We're both under the same roof. That's a lower level of Ohel. But the other two are a higher level. It's a Gemara in Ha'orva Reitim, at the end of Chulin. Machlek is a Bible Rabba. We pass like Rabba that if I'm mahil on the maze and the maze is mahil on me, that's considered like maga. That's more chomer than oil hamshocha. It's closer to maga. So the Mishnah uses the expression when you say a maze is mitami ba'oil. If you're mahil on top of the maze, what if you're very high up above the maze? What if you're 100 amas higher? What if you're 1,000 amas higher? So the Mishnah says tumu bokas ve'oila ad l'rakia. Tumah Bakas we read is Ad Hatahom. So it could well be that this is the Lashon of the Halacha. This is the Halacha of Moshe Nisina. Tumah Bakas we Oila Ad Lo Rakiya up until the Rakiya, but it doesn't penetrate into the Rakiya. So let's say someone goes in an airplane on top of a cemetery, and the airplane is above the clouds. So Alpi Pashtus, it could very well follow. It was never discussed explicitly in the earlier literature. They never had any airplanes flying above the clouds. People going high heights. Let's say a guy's on the Empire State Building and he leans out and there's a cemetery right below. So even if it's 100 stories up, you say the tomb is Bakasliyev. But the Shad is, what if they make a Migdal Bovel? Rosh HaBashamayim. Let's say make a Migdal Bovel. And the Migdal Bovel reaches till above the clouds. Airplane below. Okay, the guy's an airplane. And leans over there on top of the cemetery. But he also did Mitami. So it could well be that not, but he put two and two together. Because the Lashon HaMishnah is that Tumo Bakas Viola Ad Lo Rekia up until the Rekia. Could be it doesn't penetrate into the Rekia. And Taisus in the middle of Erevin says that into the clouds, above the bottom of the clouds, is considered Barekia. It's a halachic concept. Same as Tumah Bakas, we already is Ad HaTahom. So let's say there's a cemetery. In China. What's on the other side of New York? China. Could I always say China? Okay, so whatever is on the other side of the globe. You say, Kohanim, I'm not allowed to walk over here on this street because Tumah Bakas, we already is Ad HaTahom. The Tumah goes from the nace in China, goes all the way through and through and through. It goes to the other side. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in the Sefer that it's just not so. That there's a limit. It goes out at the home. It goes fill the home and it doesn't go further. So he said, obviously there's a limit. Otherwise they would have just said, Tumah Bakas V'Yoredes. Tumah Bakas V'Yoredes. So just like out at the home, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, it means a limit. He's not sure exactly what the limit is, whether the center of the globe or the beginning of the lava, whatever, somewhere over there. Somewhere there's a limit that you say up until there and not further. So similarly, Alpi Pashas, Tumah Bakas V'Yoredes, Ad L'Rakia, there's a limit there too. You reach a certain point where Alpi Din Deraisa, not just when you get to Dinam Derabbanan of Chum, but you get to Dinam Deraisa, there is a concept of Rakia. So that concept was brought into existence on the second day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehi Rakia B'Seir HaMoyim. So that concept of Rakia came into, the Chepta of the Rakia came into existence. And it's a halachic, it is of halachic significance. Plays a role in Din.
Thank you. Dimasi between the Kohen and the Chuma. So if you were flying, even if you were flying below the Rakia, wouldn't the base at the bottom of the airplane and the various compartments be Dimasi?
That's a very good question. The Gemara deals with that in a few places, in Gittin, in the first Terek, and in Erevin, and other places. The Gemara calls that Ohel Zaruk. If you have, let's say, a mace downstairs, and you have a floor mafsi, so the floor is standing still, but if you have an airplane that's flying in the air, it's moving, so Ohel Zaruk is not considered an oil at all. Not to be maybe a satum, and not to be chotzitz b'shmeyachon. Ohel Zaruk is not an oil at all. There's two kinds of oil zarek. Let's say if you have a bus riding on the ground, so the bus's wheels are on the ground. So then the Gemara has a din, and maybe it's only a din de Rabbanon, that's a big dispute in Hafarim. The din is that the oil, that kind of oil zarek, is maybe a satuma, the roof of the bus is maybe a satuma, and the floor is not koitzit b'fnei atuma. It's an oil lahachma, not lahachma. So some Hafarim say lahachma, lahachma sounds like it's only the Rabbanon. On the level of the rice, it shouldn't make a difference. But whatever it is, that's what it says. That an oil zaruk, so let's say someone is riding in a bus, and the bus is riding on a cemetery. So the kohenim are not allowed to be in the bus, al pi pashtus, because the oil zaruk, the roof is maybe a satum, and the floor is not koyfus b'shnatum. So that's when the plane is taxiing on the ground. So the roof of the plane is maybe a satum, and the floor is not koyfus. Once the plane takes off, and it doesn't even have its wheels on the ground, then Taisus says, that it's not, maybe it's not chotzitz. Nothing. The Chumash continues to describe the different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on the different days. So it says, on Yom Revi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shnei Amores HaGdolim. Yim Amores Beruki HaShemayim. V'hoyul Amores Beruki HaShemayim V'horosh. V'yasa Lekim Shnei Amores HaGdolim. Samor HaGdolim Mishalos HaYom. Samor HaKotam. The Menshelos HaLailim. This is right away a problem that the Gemara works on. First it says Shnei Amores HaGdolim, and then it says Amor HaGdolim, Amor HaKotim. So the practice is that it's not really Afi Pshuta, it's not really a Kasha. The Mephoshim point, it's not really a Kasha. The sun and the moon, Amores HaGdolim, in contrast to the stars. But the sun, in contrast to the moon, is clearly much bigger. So the Shnei Amores HaGdolim vis-a-vis the stars. And the Amor HaGdolim and the Morakotan, in contrast to each other, in contrast the moon, Klapi the sun. So one is Godless, one is Kotan. That's all Pi Pashtas like that. But the Gemara has a whole Agarika that Rashi quotes. Shnei Amores HaGdolim Shavim Nivru. Originally they were both created equal brightness. V'nismata Halvono, and the moon was punished Al Shekitrigor, because she came to complain against the sun. The Omra, the moon, came to complain to the Ban Shalom, and her taina was, Yefshel Shnei Malachim Sheishtamsha B'Kesarechot. There's going to be jealousy. How can you have the sun is just as bright in the daytime as the moon is at nighttime? There's going to be jealousy. So the Ban Shalom said, yeah, that's a good idea. L'chi Yomati Esatzman. Go make yourself smaller. So then the Gemara continues. Rashi only quotes the half of the Medrash. Then the Gemara Chulin, the Avsamah, continues to say that the moon goes around complaining now. What did the Baruch Hu punish me for? What did I do? Truth of the matter, we know what the moon did. The moon was jealous, and she complained to the Baruch Hu. The moon wanted to knock down the sun. So the Baruch Hu said, You're trying to punish the sun, I'm going to punish you. So we really know the truth of the matter. But after so many years, it's already 6,000 years, and no one remembers the story. We remember because Rashi and Chumash quotes it. No one else remembers. So the moon is crying, it's not fair. So the Baruch Shalom says, I can't explain it. So the Baruch Shalom says, Haviu alai kapor al shemiyatati yisayrek. He says, every Rosh Chodesh, when the moon is tiny, then it comes big again. That's the miut halvona, that the moon gets big and small and big and small. The sun stays the same size all the time. The moon keeps on every month, gets big and small, so that's called the miut halvona. So when the levana disappears and then it comes back into a vision, into sight, the Baruch Shalom says, every Rosh Chodesh bring a chatos l'Hashem. It means haviu alai kapara al shemiyatati yisayreach. The Baruch Shalom is plotting al chay. Peladiki Gemara. So printed on the side of the Gemara Chumin, it says Yesh Be'agodazu Sod. I think Avola, there's something here. What do you mean Baruch Shalom is copying Al Chayti? He has to bring a korban. So I remember once Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this. That he said, when we say Kiddush Levana, so we say Atzilah. Yiratzon Shetemala Tegimus Alvana V'liyu Bashum Liyu V'yor Alvana K'arachamik Yashiv Ismei Gracious Moshe Nehem Ashneem Aros HaGibar. This guy made a mixture of Kosov, Shai, the whole Kosov. So he said, Rabbani Shalom, from all the things that are going on in the world, there's a Sakona for Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, Sakona for Klal Yisrael all over the world. There's anti-Semitism, they're attacking the Jews, there's people who don't have any babies, there's people who need Shidduchim, people who need Parnassah, there's sick people. There's so many tzaras in the world. The only tzara that we pray to God about is the Niyat Halvana. The Jews all over the world are just worried about the Niyat Halvana. That the moon keeps on getting smaller and bigger, so we cry our heart out, the Baruch Shem Shav Rachmanis on the moon. Why don't we say Hav Rachmanis on the human beings? Hav Rachmanis Alam Chabes Yisrael. Hav Rachmanis on the rest of the world. Let's focus on the moon. So he said that in Kabbalah literature, I'm not familiar, he said Kabbalah literature, the term Niyat Halvana is synonymous with the problem of evil. That the Levana puts on an act, the Ilu, as if the Rebbe Shalom ba'avled her. He says, what did I do? Why was I punished? So that's the big problem of evil in the whole world. All of the Nevi'im always ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you have Tzadik Hara Lo, Rosh HaVetovlo? If it's the same God who created the world and who gave us all the principles of Tzedek and Mishpat and Yosher and goodness and kindness and everything, so how come nothing corresponds? How come you have Tzadikim who suffer and you have Rishoyim who prosper? Baruch Hashem doesn't know what's happening in the world. Either he doesn't exist, or he doesn't know what's happening, he doesn't care what's happening, he doesn't have the ability to do anything about it, and all of the above, Rafi Kursus. So Hatela. So what's going on? So that's a big kasha. That's the kasha of Tzadik Ra'al and Rosh HaVetovlo. That's the problem of evil that no one understands. So Baruch Hashem says, how can you have a Shoah when 9 million Jews get killed? And millions of other, and Goyim got killed also. Goyim also got killed. Everyone was killed. How can you have, what kind of a God is this? How can he allow such things to happen? Shomu Shamayim, how can it happen? So Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'm clapping al chet, halvi alai kapor al shemiyat et yisrael. Not so much about the Yireh. Miyu Talavana represents the whole problem of evil in the whole world. The real answer is that there's a good explanation for it. Rashi HaFlomish already gives us the explanation. Al shekitra go, the Levana came and she complained about the Chama. So the Baruch Shalom punished the Levana. It's basisimoy kajazam amlasis liochiv. She had in the back of her mind to knock down the Chama. So the Baruch Shalom said, we're going to knock you down. So the same is true regarding all of these kashas that we have. There are good answers. We don't have the slightest notion what the answer is, but we assume that there is a good answer for everything. And when in Parshas Kisisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Odieni knows the Rachecha, explain to me, how do you run your world? The Gemara understands in Brachas, in the first part, what he was asking was, explain to me, how do you have a Tzadik Ra'al or Rosh HaVetovlo? If there's only one God who created the whole world and who controls everything, knows everything, controls everything, and that one God is a good God, how does he allow so much discrepancy between Tov and Teva? So the Baruch Shalom says that the Risa Sachora Yufanai Lo Yiro. So many of us say that that's what it means. When all of history will be developed and we'll look back in retrospect, then we will be able to understand that everything was really L'Tayva. Now we have a Muna that called Madavid Rachmana L'Tavavid. But our perception is not so. Our perception is sometimes there are good things that happen and sometimes there are bad things that happen. So we sometimes say a bracha, the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Nun. We sometimes recite a bracha teva meit, and sometimes we recite a bracha dynamis. When it looks like a tragedy, we say dynamis. But the Rabbeinu Yehuda writes on that Gemara and brachas. The Mishnah says in brachas kishem shem avracha malat teva kach mavracha malat ro. So the Gemara asks on the Mishnah kishem. You say the same bracha? No, he say a teva meit, and he say dynamis. How is it kishem? Just like that's what they're saying. Just like you say a bracha on an orange, so do you say a bracha on a potato? But it's not the same bracha. That's barpi. This is barpi adama. I mean, you say a bracha. So why is it called kishem? Just like, what do you say? Just like we say about mevarchem al aro. Why do you say kishem shemevarchem al aro? Why is it just like? So the Gemara says mekabulu b'simcha. One is supposed to recite. You say a different text of a bracha. You say dayno emes, but you're supposed to recite the bracha dayno emes with a good feeling, He's supposed to have emunah that it's really mitayim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, the Mechaber quotes from the Arbeinu Yoina. Before a person says Baruch Dainamich, when a tragedy, when a major tragedy occurred, he's supposed to be mechazik himself in emunah and believe the perception is that it was a tragedy, but he's supposed to believe that it's really mitayim. So the Gemara says himself in that Ba'ilam Azeh, we sometimes say Dainamich, and we sometimes say Atayv HaMeitim. Lasi Lava will only say Atayv HaMeitim. Why? Because Lasi Lava, that's what the Nitzid and others explain. Lasi Lava, it'll be the Bechina Barisa Sakharai. All of history will be unfolded already. We'll be able to look back in retrospect and understand. The perception will be that everything was L'Tayva. Not just that we'll have a Muna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a good God, he does everything L'Tayva. The perception will be that everything is L'Tayva. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. It says in Kabbalah Sforim, that's the usage of the term that when we pray, Yiratzen Shetimala Pegimus Halavana V'Yibashum Niyut, we're not really praying for the Pegimus Halavana. What we're really praying for is that Pegimus Halavana represents this concept of the problem of evil in the world. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to create the man. So the pasuk uses the plural. Nasa Adam b'tzalmeinu. Nasa Adam sounds like there's more than there are a few members of the board over there. So our rabbis had great difficulty with this pasuk because we believe, as it says, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's only one God in heaven above. What do you mean, Nasa Adam b'tzalmeinu? What kind of a lashon is that? So the Gemara understands what it means is Rashi quotes in the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted. Kadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the angels to have a whole discussion. What do they think? Should they create Adam HaRishon or not? Why was it significant to write this in the Chumash? Kadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the angels and he said, "Nasa Adam." It's very misleading. One could be misled to believe that there's a Trinity, something like that. That there's more than one God. So the rabbis of the Talmud understood Lelamdach Deracheretz. Omida Sanova, to teach humility to man, Shehei HaGadol Nimlach V'Nertel Rishus Min HaKatan. Even if you're the world's biggest genius, like the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're not a bigger genius than God, you should always consult the lesser geniuses, the less intelligent beings, like the angels. You should always consult with people less than you. That person should always be humble. So that's what some Mefarshim point out. There is such an expression, Kolam Ezgar Kilo Eved Avod Ezar. One who is arrogant, the Gemara has a whole discussion about Gaiva in the first paragraph of the statement. The Gemara has something like that. Kolam Ezgar Kilo Eved Avod Ezar. Whoever is arrogant is like he's worshipping Avod Ezar. What's it? Tzush spells arrogant, he's worshipping Avod Ezar. It means we have this pasuk over here, Nasa Adam, it's Almeno. So we have a problem. How do you translate the word Nasas? If a person takes the lesson of humility, you should always consult with the less intelligent people. So you say there's really one God. God consulted with the angels, and the reason why this is recorded in the Chumash, not everything that Ribbono Shel Olam does is recorded. This is recorded to teach us, we should go in the ways of God. Just like he shows humility, he consults the lesser intelligences, so that we should also consult the less. But if a person is in this way, he doesn't take this lesson, so how does he read the Pasuk Nasa? Nasa means there's more than one God. So that's called a Mizgah, Kilo Eved Avod Ezar. Very often the pasuk will describe things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in order to teach us how we're supposed to act. Because the halacha says, we're supposed to go in the ways of Hashem. So I didn't know what are the ways of Hashem. So the Rambam writes, the whole Tanakh describes things that the Ribbono Shel Olam did, the Chumash, but the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. What is it describing for? That we should know how to fulfill the mitzvah of Halacha B'Drocha. So here also, this Nasa Adam is written, we don't know exactly what it means, but it's written to teach us this lesson. That just like the Ribbono Shel Olam consulted with the angels, whatever that means exactly, we're not sure, so too, we should learn from that we should consult. Rashi has such a comment on V'yom HaShvi'i Shavas V'yi Nafash. The Rashi writes, Hichtiv Menucho B'yatzmo. The Pasuk describes HaKadosh Baruch as if he rested on Shabbos. What do you mean he rested? What, he worked so hard, he got so exhausted from the 6 days of Bria that he had to rest. It was B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu Ruch Piv Kol Tzva. He just made a proclamation. Yehi Or, Yehi Rakia, Yeshu Tzamayim. He didn't even have to pronounce the words. It means Machshavah. You don't even know what it means. But there was no exertion of effort or energy. So what does it mean? It doesn't really mean that. It means that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is creating Yesh Me'ayin and the Sheshes Me'breishes, and then Vayamashvi from the seventh day on, Shabbos Zaynav, he no longer created Yesh Me'ayin. Everything now is Yesh Me'yesh Me'yesh. Everything is Yesh Me'yesh today. But it's written as if the Rebbeinu Shlomo worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. Kilu, we should all work for 6 days and rest on the seventh day. That's where Rashi quotes in the Medrash. Hichtiv Miyatzma Menucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chumash, right in the Chumash, that I rested on the seventh day. It's not exactly accurate. He didn't only rest on the seventh, it means he retired for good. He retired. If the 6 days of creating Yesh Me'ayin, he retired, and from now on it doesn't create Yesh Me'ayin. But he told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't write it like that, I retired from creating. Write it, V'yomashvi Shabbos, V'yinofash, even though it's not 100% accurate, but it's not a lie. What it means is, in order to teach us the halakha bedracha, that we should go in the ways of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, since this is the way it's described in the Chumash, it's described in order to teach us this lesson. So that's why this is described also. Nasa, the Mitzalmeinu is mentioned in this way, even though we don't really understand what it means, in order to teach us that that's the way we're supposed to act. Exactly what does it mean, Nasa, the Mitzalmeinu, Kidmu Seinu? And the Baruch Shalom also has 2 ears, and a mouth, and a nose, and nostrils. What does it mean, Bitsalmeinu? So the Mabit writes in the Sefer, Beis Elokim, that Tzelem Elokim means Bechira Chofshis. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, there was nothing that forced him to create it. Nothing that prompted him to create it. He decided on his own, that was his wish. So too, there's nothing that forces people to make decisions in life. Look, a person is brought up in a religious family, so Muslim will choose to be religious. A person is brought up in a non-observant family, Muslim will choose to be non-observant. It's easier to eat treifas. It's less expensive to eat treifas. It's easier to be Michal Shabbos. There are considerations that a person has, comfort and money and pleasure and so on. There are always considerations, but the final decision whether to do mitzvahs or averus or whatever, everything is outright the Bechira Chofshis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and he created all the teva. There's one thing in the world that's not subject to any teva. That's human Bechira Chofshis. Everyone has the ability to choose to do whatever he wants to do. That's the main problem with all the psychology today. That the Yisoid of all of contemporary psychology is that they don't believe in Bechira Chofshis. That's what we believe in. We believe in Tzelem Elokim, and we believe because we have this Tzelem Elokim, this divine spark, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing forced him. He wasn't forced into creating the world. It was free will he created the world. So to all the decisions that we make are based on the Bechira Chofshis. Because we have this Maila of Tzelem Elokim, and all human beings have it. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chavi Vadim Shenivri B'Tzelem Chavi Nisal Shikul Barim Lamachim. B'nai Yisrael Abanim, Barim Atem, Lashem HaKesh, is only B'nai Yisrael. But Tzelem Elokim is all human beings have Bechira Chofshis. Everybody has. So because everybody has Bechira Chofshis, that is the Yisrael, that's the basis of the concept of Kavod Abriyas. They have to be mechabed human beings, if they act like human beings. If they act like murderers, they treat them like things. But if human beings act like human beings, like they're supposed to, you have to be mechabed them, because this is indirectly the way to be mechabed after his brothel. Because the man there has Tzelem Elokim within him. Meiri, in his introduction to Shas, in Europe, he used to print the introduction to Shas in the beginning of Nidorim. He used to print the Dorim Muslim Saita in Europe together, so the Hakdamah to Shas was there. In recent years, they realized that it's not a Hakdamah to Nidorim, so they printed the beginning of Brachas. Meiri and Brachas now has it. All the old Meiris on Brachas do not have this Hakdamah, but the new Meiris on Brachas have the Hakdamah to Shas. So he has a general discussion of learning Talmud, other things. In the middle of his long drasha, he quotes a medrash that the Aseres HaDibra, there's a question exactly how the Aseres HaDibra were laid out on the Shnei Luchos HaBris. One opinion is that all the Aseres HaDibra were written on this Eben and on the Shnei Luchos HaBris. There were 2 stones that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai. One opinion in medrash is that all the Aseres HaDibra were written on both stones. And the popular version, the way it appears in all the shuls on top of the Aron Kodesh, is that the first 5 were on one, and the next 5 were on the other. Even though there are many more letters in the first 5 than in the second 5. many more letters. Some shuls, but they have it all spelled out. Don't notice one. Sirtzav, Sinafus, Sadebrech, Hashem. So hardly anything there. The second one is empty. So why do they have so many? It's not balanced. It's a topic of discussion. And Mabit talks about that also. The whole book, Mabit in the Beis Elokim, has a fascinating comment on that. So the Niri quotes this popular opinion, different views in the Medrash, that there are five and five, and the Medrash develops an idea that the first is Mechuvin Keneged, the first on the first list is related to the first on the second list, and the second over here is related to the second, and the third is related to the third, and so on. And the Niri develops the whole thing. So the first is related to the first, and Noichi is related to Lo Sirtza. What is the basis of Lo Sirtza? That man was created to tell him Elokim. So if you murder a human being, you're mevazeh the tzelem elokim. It's indirectly mechabed, to be mechabed people, the union of kavod abriyas is an indirect way to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be mevazeh a human being, or kavachayim, to kill a human being, to kill a person, that's like an indirect way to be mevazeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it does not refer to, we assume, today that is a generally assumed opinion, that God does not have a body. Originally, that was one of the reasons why the Balei Atesis put Moreh Nevuchim in Cherem, because they believed that it was up because he writes that God doesn't have a body. It's against the whole Tanakh. So that was one of the concerns that they had. They held the Rambam was an apikoros. Af Hashem, Eini Hashem, Chosmei, Hatei Oznecho Shno. The whole Tanakh describes. So today, it's generally assumed like the Rambam that God does not have a body. So B'Tzelem Elokim doesn't mean that he has the same defus that we have. Shalom Aleichem means, but the fear of Hashem stands.
Yeah, with the seventh Torah, it's like Derech Hanava,
the Mimach, the Shemava.
Does it mean that when you speak people just pro forma, you speak to them
with
Derech Kavod, or it means that you speak to them with intent to hear what they say?
Well, the Rebbeinu Shalom, it doesn't say in the Chumash what happened. The Medrash continues to say the Malachim had a Machloikis, and then it was a stalemate, there was a tie, and then the Rebbeinu Shalom had a rigid the way he wanted it. So he, that's what it sounds like in the Medrash. The problem went. So the Rebbeinu Shalom threw some in the mouth and they took the final vote. That's what it sounds like. The Rebbeinu Shalom just did a pro forma. But it doesn't say that. Nechum just says Nasa. He consulted. That means we should consult. We should learn from Rebbe. We should consult and listen.
It's like
the
Tanakh,
the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh,
the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the
Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, the Tanakh, thus it says it's sure, Baraj Yayat. You consult in order to listen to what they have to say. And then you'll judge if they said Varma Tavan, so you don't accept it. Doesn't mean you should have, you always have an exception. You have to take it into consideration.
I think it's been very strong that the Mechilta of Shimon Echai, Parshas Yisro, where the text says that Moshe consulted with the other coming of his generation.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, what would you really think that Moshe was doing it? So far was Moshe, Mamish was...
To listen? No, they have in the Chumash that Moshe had an opinion and Aaron disagreed, and then Moshe was masking with Aaron at first. And he changed his mind. Aaron convinced Moshe Rabbeinu that he didn't make a correct judgment. There was a new Shaila came up. There had to be Medam and Milsa and Milsa. So Moshe Rabbeinu said one way, and Aaron said he thinks it's more correct the other way. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yep, masking with him. He listened, not enough. Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayivarech Osem Elokim Vayim Alehem Pru Revu Milus Oetz V'chimshu Erdu B'digas Hayom V'yol HaShamayim V'chol Chayo HaRameses Al HaOretz. Originally the mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the Sugya B'nei Noach, originally the mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya applied all to all the Yom HaSoimam. It wasn't restricted only to the Jews, and the nature of the mitzvah was this whole pasuk, Pruvu Milus Oetz V'chimshu Erdu B'digas Hayom. We should multiply and we should get control of the whole world and study astronomy and physics and chemistry and biology and everything and conquer the whole world and have control over everything. That was the tzivui. Milus Oetz V'chimshu Erdu B'digas Hayom V'chol Chayi HaRameses Al HaAretz. Then the Gemara says, however, that at the time of Matan Torah, the mitzvah was given a second time. That's called Nemra Benishnis. This mitzvah was Nemra Benishnis. It was given before Matan Torah to everybody. Then it was repeated at Har Sinai. When it was repeated at Har Sinai, then the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. It only applies to the Bnei Yisrael. It doesn't apply to the Yom HaSoilim. And the Pashtus in the Rambam is that the Jewish person is only yet to the mitzvah of Pirei Rebbe if he has Jewish children. If he doesn't have Jewish children, he's not yet to Pirei Rebbe. If, let's say, the Gemara says, this part is a Gemara. Let's say a Jewish person lives with a non-Jewish woman. And the children are not Jewish. So that the Gemara says he's not yet to Pirei Rebbe, but because the children are not Jewish, so they're not Mitzvah Zachra. But Alpi did not relate it to the father. But let's say you had a Nochri, who had children. A Nochri was married to a Nochris, and they had children who were all Nochri, many non-Jewish children. So he is related to them. And then the Nochri converts. So after he converts, he's mechuyif to fulfill Pirei Rebbe. So he's a yotzi with the children that he had before. So that's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan, Shlokish, and we passed in yes. So what do you mean is yotzi with the children he had before, but they're not Jewish? So the Rambam writes, if then is Gayer. So the Magid Mishnah writes on the side of the Rambam, not everybody agrees with the Magid Mishnah. But the Magid Mishnah writes, it's a double pashut. The Rambam understands that you're not yotzi Pirei Rebbe with non-Jewish children, even though they were related to me at one time. It's not considered like Mesu. If a person has children and they died before they themselves had children, so he's not yet to Pirei Rebbe, he has to have more children. It's not considered like Mesu over here. But the Magen Mishnah understood in the Rambam that that's a double pasha. The nature of the mitzvah Pirei Rebbe changed. And after Matan Torah no longer includes the chiyuv to fly to outer space and to study physics and chemistry and biology and astronomy and to do everything. Chivshur, dubi digas hayam. That was the original intent. The original mitzvah Pru Rebu was the Chibshua, to have control over the whole world. But after it was changed, the nature of the mitzvah is that the Jewish people should have Jewish children to transmit the Torah to them, transmit the Masorah of the Torah to their children. That's the Pashtus of the Gemara in Brachis. The Gemara says that Yishai Anali visited Tishkiyo, and he said he's going to be punished why he didn't marry and he didn't fulfill Pirei Rebbe. So he said, I can't fulfill Pirei Rebbe. He saw Beruach HaKadosh that if he'll have children, they'll be Rishoyim. He will not succeed. He'll have children, but he won't succeed in transmitting Emunah and Torah to them. So that's not Pirei Rebbe. So then the Navi told me, making a mistake. So most of the Mefarshim and Dan Gemara understand the mistake was a detailed mistake, but the principle that Chizkiyo said was correct. The nature of the mitzvah Pirei Rebbe after Matan Torah changed. It's no longer just to have biological children. Pirei Rebbe is to have children to whom to transmit the Masorah of the Torah to. So if you know they're not going to be observant, so you won't, Taka won't be observant. You can never tell though. That's what the Novi Yishai told. How do you know? You're Baruch HaKadosh. Maybe you're making a mistake in your Baruch HaKadosh. That's what most Mephoshim say. Maybe you're making a mistake in your Baruch HaKadosh. Or other Mephoshim saying not supposed to pass Nishai was based on Baruch HaKadosh. But they're a hatabi, you're going to have children, so you should so try to raise them as observant Jews. There is still a mitzvah, that's a Rav Soloveitchik, he says, there may still be a mitzvah to fly out to outer space and to control the whole world and to try to conquer all the diseases and to master physics and chemistry and biology and astronomy and everything. Not based on Pru Revu anymore. This was the original Pru Revu up until Matan Torah included the Chivshua Redu B'Gasayam. And maybe based on the mitzvah of Halachta B'Drochav, it's a different thing. Just like the Rabbanu Shalom is describing the Chumash Bereishis as being creative and original and all-knowing and everything, so the Halachta B'Drochav may include that also, that we should be creative and original and talented. Whoever has any talents should develop those talents. If a person has talents for music, for learning, for whatever talents you have, you should develop. You shouldn't just waste your talent. So that could be included in a different mitzvah of Halachta B'Drachah. But it's no apikashtus. It's no longer included in this mitzvah Pru Revu. This is only the Hayru Asha. Rashi quotes on the pasuk Vayera Vayvoke Yoyim Hashishi. The whole time it says Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi, Yom Chamishi. It doesn't say it with a hey, how you do it? What's that? It's Yom Hashishi. Well, she quotes a lot of Midrashim. On the whole Chamishi, she quotes many Midrashim. He says, that the Vav Yosef in the Torah was given. This is the question whether this is true or not. Was Torah given the Vav Yosef and the Zayin Yosef? It's not like this at the night. But this Medrash is assuming that the Torah, we assume Halacha Maaseh was given design decision. And that's Magen Avraham's famous kasha. How do we daven? In the davening we say, it's not true. That the Matan Torah was on Zion Sivan, wasn't on Bob Sivan. So that kasha is not so insurmountable. This is the season of the year when the Torah was given. Necessarily the exact saying in the day. Zman Matan Torah Seinah. Okay, that's Magen Avraham talks about that kasha. How do you say Zman Matan Torah Seinah, Bob Sivan, if the conclusion Allah HaMaisa of the Gemara is that we assume that it's Zion Sivan? But here this Medrash is clearly like the other time. This Medrash is assumed that the Torah was given on Vav Sivan, not on Zayin Sivan. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Maisa Bereshis. The Gemara Maisa Bereshis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the whole creation of the whole world, so he said Vayer Vayvayke Yoyim HaShishi, that the whole world is Tali V'yoymeid Ad Yoyim HaShishi Dehayin Ovav B'Sivan and the Kabbalah Misolos HaTorah Mutav. If the Bnei Yisrael will accept the Torah is good. And in Vav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Machs of the world, the Tov Baro, the Tov Bavo. The whole Bria was on the condition that Yisrael Yasko Batur. So that's quoted in the name of the Vilna God, the name of Abtaim Alojim. They said that the Ribbono Shel Olam was kind to us and he made the world, the earth is in a globe shape. So when we're sleeping and we're not learning, so the Jews on the other side of the world who are learning. When they're sleeping over there, it's nighttime over there, so the people learning over here. If there were one moment of time would go by where there wouldn't be anybody learning any Torah, that's the quote from the Vilna Gaon, Abchaim Alojana, that the whole world would collapse. Not only that the existence of the world is contingent on the once in the history of the world acceptance of the Torah Hasina, not Kabbalah Satara. The continued existence of the world is contingent on the continued learning of Torah, not just on the act of Kabbalah Satara, but on continued Limud Torah. It's not to the fact that people are learning Torah Yom V'Layla, Lo Brisi Yom V'Layla, all day and all night, the world wouldn't continue to exist. The world would collapse back into non-existence because it was Tanai Hisnakadosh Baruch Hu Imar. He made this Tanai, that's Vayer Vayveka Yoim Hashishi. That's what they say, but Rav Chaim Alojener established his yeshiva, so he wanted that his yeshiva should keep the whole world going. So he had people learning around the clock. So he had people learning by Yom, and they had to sleep at night. And they had people learning by Laila, and they had to sleep in the daytime. He insisted that people have to learn 24 hours a day. And even on awkward hours when nobody in the yeshiva was learning, he always saw to it that someone would do the Shabbos talk. When everybody was eating, usually breakfast time, there's always some guy who's learning a base medrash, and then when the guys come back from their breakfast, so those guys go to eat breakfast. Not everybody goes to eat breakfast at the same time, so there's always someone left. Lunch, supper, always like that. The Shabbos usually everybody's eating Shabbos. He used to insist there would always be two guys who would be learning Chayshin Nishpah. So Rashi said his father told him in the later years, that's what he remembered, under the Netziv. There were two guys who had a Seder Kavu. He told us which two. They had a Seder to learn Shulchan Aruch HaShem Mishkan Shal Shul Kham. Then I'm a Tzoy Yom Kippur, when everybody was in the Chadar Ochol, wherever they went to eat, the Netziv himself used to sit and learn in the Beis Medrash until some of the guys came back to learn, then he went to eat. He waited an extra hour. Because they wanted, that was the tradition in Valojan Yeshiva, they wanted their yeshiva should keep the whole world going.
This name, Magyarish, and it sounds like possibly Yumiel, does it mean that if there wasn't learning going on, the whole universe would collapse? Because they described the globe, and this is you on the other side. But when you read the Pesach in Yirmiyahu, it sounds like Kukosh Mayim Ha'aretz. It sounds like they mean the total universe.
I think so. The total universe is the contingent, is dependent on people learning on the globe. Recent Yom HaValayim means the Jews learning Torah by day and by night on the globe. So that keeps the whole universe going. The Pasuk draws a distinction between Kedusha Shah Shabbos and Kedusha Yom Tov. Kedusha Shah Shabbos, the Gemara says, is Kviyah V'Kayma Misheshes Mei Bereshes. Baruch Hu came out to HaMashrim by Kaddish also. Kaddish Baruch Hu is Mekaddish, the Yom HaShabbos. As opposed to Yom Tovim, that's when Yisrael have to be Mekaddish. That's why the Gemara says that there's a difference in the Nusach HaBracha on Shabbos, the Nusach HaBracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. HaKadosh directly is Mekadesh is HaShabbos, as opposed to Yom Tov when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael VaHazmanim. So the Gemara says that what that Nusach means is HaKadosh Baruch is Mekadesh B'nai Yisrael, who in turn create the Kedushas HaYom Tov. The Gemara says that reciting Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah min HaTorah. So the Magen Mishneh claims that it's only Kiddush on Shabbos, Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanon, Havdalah on Shabbos is only the Rabbanon. It's against the Rambam. Magen Mishneh writes, it's against the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Kiddush and Havdalah on Shabbos are both deraisa, and he writes that Kiddush on Yom Tov is also deraisa. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Magen Mishneh disagrees. He quotes the Yesh Amin. Magen Mishneh says there are those who disagree and hold that Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanon, and even Havdalah on Shabbos is only the Rabbanon. So here's the Yesh Amin that the Magen Mishneh is quoting, sound as if they understood as follows, that the idea of Kiddush is, like the Gemara has a difference between a Bechor Behema Torah and all other Korbanos. Bechor is Kodesh Me'evo. Bechor is born. It's Kodesh Me'rechem. You don't have to say Hareza Bechor, Hareza Kodesh Lashem. It's Kodesh by itself. And nonetheless, the Gemara quotes in the end of Tumura, Bechor Shobes Rebbe Yomra Machlegis HaPanayim. We pass in Mitzvah Lahagdisham. The Rambam passes like that. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it because we don't have it this manazim. But the Rambam passes is a Mitzvah Lahagdisham because the Bechor is the one and only Korban that's Kodesh by itself. So it's a Mitzvah that the farmer should declare it as Kodesh. He should say, even though it's Kodesh by itself, I also want to endow it with Kiddush. So that's apparently how the Magen Mishneh seems to have understood the Mitzvah of Kiddush. That Shabbos is Kodesh V'yayimin, HaKodesh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Shabbos. M'sheish is made Bereishis. Yom Tov we created Kedusha. But Shabbos is Kodesh by itself. So since Shabbos is Kodesh by itself, Baruch Hu wants us to be Moisiv Kedusha to the Shabbos. So we should recite the Kiddush to endow the day of Shabbos with Kedusha. Just like by the Bechor. Bechor Mitzvah like Kedusha doesn't mean to make a statement that it is Kodesh. It's a mitzvah to be Mekadosh, the Gemara says. And when you Mekadosh the Bechor, it's Chal, the Gemara says in Nedarim, in Nozir. Both in Nedarim and Nozir. When you Mekadosh the Bechor, the Mitzvah Lakdisha is not just a statement, it's a Hadgasha, like as Hareza Chakas, Hareza Hashem, Hareza Shlomim. When you say Hareza Bechor, you're Meisiv Kedusha al Kedushosa. So the same thing, the Shabbos, Mitzvah Lakdisha is because it's Kodesh Me'elov anyway. The source of all the Kedusha is better if it comes from the Bnei Yisrael. A Kedusha that's Bo Me'elehu is it's weaker. In a certain sense, a weaker. So the Baruch Shalom was Mitzvah that we should be Mekadosh the Shabbos by reciting the Kiddush. Tavdolah you don't, Tavdolah the Magen Mishneh knows is only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam understands a different word, that Kiddush and Abdolah, both Shabbos and Yadav, everything is there. I said, and it is to notice the difference between Kodesh and Chol and to mention it. It used to be Chol, and now just became Kodesh. And at the end of Shabbos, it used to be Kodesh, and now just became Chol. To demarcate the beginning and the end of Zmanei Kedusha. That's how the Rambam understood the nature of the Mitzvah Deraisa. And the Magen Mishneh seems to understand totally differently. That only Kiddush on Shabbos Deraisa, everything else is only the Rabbanon. To demarcate between Kodesh and Chol, that's only the Rabbanon. But the essence of the Mitzvah of Kiddush is to be Mekadosh as our Shabbos. Yom Tov, you are Mekadosh. We don't have to make Kaddish again by saying Kiddush.
So a little bit of Kiddush, the base of Rebbe is, and even though it has the Kiddush already, still it would be mocking it.
Right.
As far as the opposite, on Yom Tov, where it's probably with the Kiddush of Paul Israel, even if it does, then you should be more reasonable. Not less.
We were mad at shit.
No,
Yom Tov wouldn't come into existence without it. We made it Yom Tov.
Yes, but I'm saying
we did it. We already did it.
If I said if on Shabbos we just be a time of still because the mitzvah to do it like the base Rebbe did it once and like it before.
Right.
Certainly on Yom Tov, where the in essence is all coming with our declaration, we should have even more.
Now we already made a declaration.
Yeah.
The Yom Tov wouldn't exist without the fact that we made it into Yom Tov. It doesn't. Yom Tov never happens by itself. Yom Tov only comes because we made it into Yom Tov. If this parallel should be accepted,
yes.
So by Bechor, the Gemara says when you make the declaration that it's Kodesh, the Gemara says it. Whether that makes a Bechor to a Dover another or not. So you see from the Gemara, Kiddush. Bechor Mitzvah Lakdisha is not just a statement. not just the commentary, it's an action, not just it. It's the whole thing is parallel to then reciting of the Kiddush is the way to endow Shabbos with a deeper Kiddush. We read such an expression in the Mechutzah. It says, when we say Kiddush, it's Lassus HaSal Shabbos, as if we create the Kiddush. It means that we're enhancing the Kiddush.
Right.
The Shabbos also has a very high level of Kiddush before we declare the Kiddush. But by declaring the Kiddush, we endow it with more Kiddush. Rashi quotes the Medrash on chapter base, Pasuk Hei, V'chalsiach ha-sadeh term yeh-boretz, V'chalesh ha-sadeh term yitzmak, Elohim ter Hashem alikim al-ha-oretz, V'odem ayin la-avayt esel adomo. So Rashi has a fascinating Medrash that vegetation doesn't grow without rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the grass and everything in an earlier date before Adam HaRishon was created. But he says, yeah, the grass was below the surface of the ground, it didn't sprout up until it rained, and it wasn't going to rain until Adam HaRishon is going to come and pray for the rain. The Ribbono Shel Olam a lot of times doesn't give you things because he wants you to pray for them. We say in the Nusach HaBracha, Bar Nefoshes Rabbeis V'Ches Reinon. The Ribbono Shel Olam created people, and he created the necessities that they need in order to stay alive. Here also, the Ribbono Shel Olam creates us, and we're missing a lot of things. And a lot of times, the Ribbono Shel Olam B'davke makes situations in such a way that we're missing things in order that we should have to pray for them. And after you pray, then he gives. The Chazal have such a comment. How come the Gemara Yavama says, how come the Emoras were Akoras? How come Sarah had difficulty giving birth, and Rivka and Rachel? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh letfilos mishal tzadikim. Derech HaTev, most women can have babies, but Derech HaTev, they don't have to go to special fertility clinics. The normal thing is that women have babies. Rav Nosha misaveh is the oldest in the Emoras. How come from the Arba Emoras, three of them had difficulty conceiving? Three out of four, 75%. It's a very... If Rav Nosha misaveh is the oldest, but Derech HaTev, how come over here Shalok Derech HaTev? That's what the Chazal said. The Ribbono Shel Olam a lot of times holds things back because he wants people to daven. That's the pasuk. V'chalsiach hasad etem yevaaretz. The Rav Soloveitchik said over a taich that siach is miloshen tfilo. Vayetzi yitzach nasuach nasada. There was as yet no prayer. Otherwise, where does the Medrash see all this? Rashi quotes the Medrash that Adam HaRishon was created. He came on the scene. V'yarta shem tzorach lo'olam. Without rain, nothing is going. No vegetation is going to grow. It's falal aleihem. So he prayed for the rain. V'yarta v'tzamchu heilonis v'atshon. Where does it say that in the Pasuk? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's Pshat V'chalsiach hasadetem yevaaretz. There was no prayer yet. Why not? Because Adam Ayin, Lavod is Adam. There was no Adam, Lavod, to do the Avod Yishabalei. We offer the B'chol Avchem to pray for the Adam, to pray that the vegetation should grow by having the rain. So that's how the Chazal understood it. See, a lot of people think, what's the big deal? You do say the same Talmud. You don't say the same Talmud. It's going to rain anyway. Not going to rain anyway. There's a tzaddik in China who's praying for the rain. There's a tzaddik in Yerushalayim. There's a tzaddik in YU who's praying for the rain. Let's say nobody prays for the rain. So Rashi says, no, the rain isn't going to come. If nobody prays for the rain, it's not going to come. The rain is going to come whether or not you pray for the rain. Because there are other people praying. But in fact, nobody prays for the rain. That's what the Chazal said. The Baruch Hashem will not give the rain. Then Rashi quotes another medrash, Vayitzer Hashem alakim es ha'odam ofam min ha'adamah, with a strange spelling, Vayitzer two yuds. Vayitzer with two yuds. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Shtei Yitziris. The heim of the chaya, it says Vayitzer with one yud. It's an easy, but not so complex. Simple, straightforward creation. First one created the Amos and Chayes. Vayitzer, the human being has a Yetzteva, the Yetzahara, always in conflict with each other. It's the Shtei Yetziris. It's the Shtei Yetziris that everybody has. That's the definition of Adam. Adam is created with the Bechira Chavshis and with the Yetzteva and the Yetzahara, and there's always going to be a Machemes HaYetzer, and he has to always exercise his Bechira Chavshis. He has to always emphasize his Tel Malakim. His ability to make decisions. When a person exercises his Bechira Chavshis to decide to do Averis, So the seichel dictates that that's a higher level of sphere of options. No, that's a higher. He's using his celerity and his sphere of options to go against what the Rabbanu Shalom tells him to do. He's really, that's how Bali Avera, they want to show that this, they have such a tzelem alakim that he can even go against the wishes of God. In a certain sense, that's so. But in another sense, it's a little stupid. It's like Moshe Lamad Aradayma in American Yiddish folklore. They tell a story about the henpecked husband that the wife invited all the guests over to play canasta at night, whatever. So the bell rings, so the wife screams at her husband, Mo, into the door! So he runs to the door like an avid irritan. He enters, he writes to the guest, Mo, bring some chairs to the guest. He runs and he brings the chairs. And every time she says, Mo, go to the kitchen and bring the drinks. So he runs and he brings everything. He's like, Mom is like an avid. Then we're sitting and playing canasta, and the wife wants to show the way she has such sleep over her husband. So she says, Mo, sit down under the table on the floor. So very like a little mouse, he runs and he sits down under the table. Then 15 minutes later, the wife says, okay, Mo, now you can come out. So he stays here. A couple of minutes go by. She says, Mo, you can come out now. So he stays there. He doesn't come out. Then a couple of minutes later, she says, Mo, why don't you come out? So he takes his head out and he says, I'm going to show you who's boss. I'm not going to listen. Same over here. We want to show the Rabbanu Shalom who's the boss. So we're going to show him. We're not going to listen. We're going to exercise our Bechira Chavshi so much. We're going to do the Hachis. We're going to do our Averis. Yeah, in a certain sense. The chutzpah to show that you have even the ability to do Averis is wow, that's real exercise of the Bechir Chavshi. But in the other sense, it's like the Tupish. He's going to show his wife who's the boss by staying under the table. He's going to show the Rabbanu Shalom who's the boss by doing Averis. And what's going to be the Sovda? It's going to be punished. He's going to burn a Gehenna. He's going to suffer Baal HaMazah, Baal HaMavon. So it's a stupid way of demonstrating the Bechir Chavshi. Like I always did the Mashal, we go to the offices here in the Yeshiva. They need something. So every secretary has to show what a big boss they are. So they all say, no, they're not going to help you. Because if they say yes, so they're like a shmo, like a shmata. They say no, that shows that they're the big boss. Truth of the matter is, if they would say yes, they would also show that they're the big boss. And they would, the students would love them, and the faculty would love them. This is their cruel way, people. They think that you're going to say no, and you give Agnes Nefesh to the other people. That's the way to show who's the real. That's like the guy who sits under the table. He doesn't want to come out. He's going to show his wife who's the boss. So the Takir wants to show that he's the boss, and he puts his foot down and he says, no, he's not going to do what he's mechuyev to do, what he's selling. Anyway, that's the Vayitzer. Vayitzer, Shtei Yetzirah. The pasuk is very strange. It sounds like after man sinned from the Eitz HaDaas, Tov HaRa, then he got Seichel. Before he sinned with the Eitz HaDaas, he didn't have any Seichel. So it turns out that Matzino Feitel Nishkar, that through sinning, that's how he became a Baal Seichel. That's what the Rambam asked the Kasha on the first page in the Maran Buchnetz. It doesn't make any sense. So the Rambam explains that that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that that other Marishan and Chava were not a Baal Seichel before the Eitz HaDaas. If they're not a Baal Daas, then you can't be held responsible. So you can't punish them. If a person is a labadas, you can't give him any tzivuim, and you can't punish him, he's not held responsible for any of their sins. Obviously they were b'nei das before him. The concept das teivara means something else. And the Rambam has an interpretation. The Rambam says originally before the chet of the Eitz HaDaas, Adam had a clear picture, he was interested, he knew what was emes and what was sheker. He knew what was right and what was wrong. And after the sin of the Eitz HaDaas, then he went for the pleasant and the unpleasant. Instead of emphasizing the right and the wrong, he was emphasizing Tov HaRa. What's pleasant? Where will I get more Hanor? Where will I get less Hanor? Which is not necessarily always 100% corresponding to Emes and Sheker. That's what the Rambam writes. The Ramban writes a little different, I think. The Ramban HaChumash writes a little different. That's what the Hasidish is going to pick up on the Ramban's idea. That Tov HaRa means Tov HaRa Meurovim Zeh B'Zeh. That if the man sins, then he justifies what he did. So in order to defend what he did, so he starts reinterpreting everything. He has a whole different perspective on all. Before he sinned, he had his perspective straight. And if the man sins, like the pasuk describes in Mishlei, the Isha Zayna, the prostitute, does a terrible thing, prostitution. So she defends herself. The Isha Zayna says, look, everybody has to work for a living. I work for a living. money back guarantee. If you don't like the services, I'll give you your money back. She gives people pleasure. She doesn't force them into it. She's not twisting anyone's arm. And she develops a whole hashkafas achayim that she didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. What's wrong? So everyone who does averis always justifies later on. So that's what the Ramban says in the Chassidish Svarim, that after a person sins, that it begins to become tova ram yurov and zebuzer. The lineation between right and wrong is blurred, and it's hard to tell sometimes what's right and what's wrong. Adarabah, not that after the eating from the Eitz Hadas, then it was das tova ram. No, before the eating from the Eitz Hadas, it was clear. The distinction between tova ram, what's right and what's wrong, was clear. After eating from the Eitz Hadas, then it was tova ram yurov and zebuzer. They were blended in together. The Malbim writes in his commentary on Chumash, if I'm not mistaken, he writes that why was this written in the Chumash? What is it relevant to us? So he says, no, this is the way it's by everybody. The Gemara says, when a person does an Aveira, he repeats it a second time, a third time, he gets so used to it, so he justifies himself, and the distinction between right and wrong becomes so blurred. He thinks that the things that are averus are mitzvahs and things that are mitzvahs are averus. So the description of the chet of the Eitz Hadas is really to teach us a lesson. That's where it's going to be in everyone's individual life and our private lives. Whenever you're going to do any avera, that's going to blur your ability, it's going to blur your clear sight of being able to distinguish between right and wrong. Exactly what was the Eitz Hadas? There's a different tradition, different suggestions in the Medrash. One of the famous suggestions is that it was an esrog tree. Would they get the esrog tree from? Because the Ramban explains on Chumash that the esrog is the Aramaic, it's not a Hebrew word, the esrog is an Aramaic word, from the word the mirageg lemechazi. It says over here that when the Nochosh was convinced in Chavashish indeed from the Eitz Hadas, v'teruhishi kitav ha'etz v'machal v'chinech man hudo einayim, it was pleasant to look at. So the Targum Uklitz writes, Nechman Ulanai, Merageg Hu the Mechazi. The word Merageg, Rago, is the Aramaic verb for desire. For desire or pleasantness or something like that. So the word Esrog means create other. A very cute fruit. A desire is, when you look at it, it's appealing. Ramban says that we have the word appears in Aksubis. The din is that Subasisha Midina Mishnah, she only has the right to collect from Ziburis. So our meaning is that we write into the Ksuda that the husband is Meshabin himself to pay his wife for Midas, even though she's not even entitled to Beninis, only entitled to Ziburis. So you write, Mikol Shvar Arag Nichsin Vikinyon Disli Tchos Kol Shmaya. The husband gives his wife the right to collect from Midas. Mikol Shvar Arag Nichsin. So Shvar means Shapir. Shapir is pretty, beautiful. Idis, Meitav. What is Arag? The Ramban says the word Arag is the same as Mirageg Lemechazi. There's a famous Ramban in Mohammed, the first Mohammed in Lulav HaGozel, in Sukkah, in the third Perek, says that the other days of Sukkah is even a little of Mitzvah Bamigdash called Shiva to Mitzvah and Atar to Sheikh Lulav, all 7 days of Mitzvah Bamigdash. It doesn't have all the demon carried over from the first day. Lulav, Mitzvah, all over the world, Lachach, and Lachach, Bayam, Arishon. So you need Hadar and you need Shalachem. And the Ramban thinks on the other 6 days in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't need Shalachem. Shalachem is only on the first day, but Hadar you do need. So the Ramban explains me, what's the difference between Hadar and Shalachem? So he says, no, Hadar. That's what the word Esrog means. The Chepts of the Esrog is Hadar. But Shalachem, that's not a din in the Chepts. That's a din in the Kiyam HaMitzvah. You only Yaitse the Mitzvah. You only Yaitse the Mitzvah in the Tilas Lulav if it's Shalachem. So Kol Shiva is a different mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of the smachim lefnei Hashem lakechem. It's not the mitzvah of lakachim lechem bayom harishon. But you can only fulfill the mitzvah of the smachim lefnei Hashem lakechem shivas yamin with the chepts of the dalet minim. So it's not hadar. It's not called an esrog because that's what the word esrog means. The mirageg lemechazi. That's the Ramban. His question is, but what about hadar on the lulav? The din is you need hadar on all the dalet minim, not just on the esrog. That should already that. The Ramban's word that the word esrog means hadar, that means that the esrog has to be hadar kol shiva. Does the lulav also have to be hadar kol shiva? Hadas min arav is also, maybe that's like shalachem. I don't know, gotta go through that Ramban again. Truth of the matter is the pasuk describes v'yit Hashem alikim gan v'yed mikedem Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim in Adam Kaleitz Nechmad Lamar V'Tov L'Makol. It says that all the trees are described the same way. They were all Nechmad Lamar. They were all the Merageg L'Mechazi. V'Tov L'Makol, they were all the same. But what does it say later when the Nochosh is coaxing Chava to eat from the Eitz Adas? V'Tera Ha'ishi Kitov Eitz L'Makol V'Chinechmad Hulvaynai. What's that? To this tree. All the trees. It says all the trees were like that. So that's where the Beis HaLevi has a famous essay. He says, truth of the matter is that you can get the same hanoah, Salam Azeh, from doing mitzvahs as from doing aveiros. Dafka with the other one's wife, you have hanoah. From the Eishes Ish, you get a pretty wife, so you'll have hanoah from your own wife. Dafka from the ham, you get hanoah. You eat kosher food. The Gemara says in Kolavasa that whatever the Torah prohibited for us, Koman, Asa, Larachaman, Sholam, Kavasa. Whatever the Torah forbade, basa b'cholov, so there's a chal, the udder of the animal has basa b'cholov and it's mutam and atara to eat it. You can cook the chal and be mutam and atara. There's a treif of fish, so there's a kosher fish that has the same flavor. Any treif, any hanoas olam hazeh that a person can get from doing an aveira has a corresponding hanoas olam hazeh that he can get from not doing an aveira. But people have the mistaken notion that the grass is always greener on the other side. That's a psychological mistake. The grass is just as green on your side as on the other. Not as green on your side. By the other farm, by another field. You can get grass that's green without stealing it from the other guy. But that's where people make a mistake. Whatever they haven't experienced, whatever they haven't seen, so they think it's probably better. Their imagination carries them away, so they think that it must be better on the other side. So that's why the passage describes all the trees in Gan Eden. What, that was the only esrog tree? There were other esrog trees. It wasn't the only esrog tree. The one esrog tree was the Eitz HaDaas. There were other esrog trees. This one didn't taste better than the other, didn't look prettier than the other. But because this was the forbidden one, so Mayim Genuvim Yom Tokup. That's how the Beis HaLevi interprets the Gemara in the end of Sukkah. It says that Vasilava Kadosh Baruch is going to shech the Eitz HaHara. And the tzaddikim and the rishayim will all be crying. So the tzaddikim, ridden lahem kahor. The tzahar is going to be gigantic like a mountain. And they're going to cry, how in the world do we have the ability to withstand doing averis? It's such a powerful draw, the tzahar is so powerful. How did we succeed? And the rishayim, ridden lahem kahut asaira. So the rishayim who did averis, the tzahar is going to be like a thin thread. And they're going to be crying and surprised at themselves. Why couldn't we control ourselves? There's nothing there. It's like a chut asaira. So tell the Gemara, how can it be? They're both looking at the same thing. They're both looking at the Yetzirah. Sakam by the Tzaddikim is Lidma Lahem Kahor. And by the Rishayim is Lidma Lahem Kuchut Asai. So in Europe, 100 years ago, they used to say jokingly that the Maskilim spoke Hebrew. They used to speak Hebrew. And the Frum Jews used to speak Yiddish. But they said, that's what it means. It's the same thing. It looked like a har. A har is a Kuchut Asai in Yiddish. Here. So the Rishayim speak Hebrew. The maskilim they speak, so kuchut asar, the tzaddikim ben lahem, so zet tois v'yahar, it's the same thing. Except that they speak Yiddish and they speak Hebrew. That's Yiddish folklore, that's what they used to say jokingly. But the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is clearly not. The pasuk pshat, the tzaddikim, it appears like a mountain, gigantic like a mountain. The Rishayim looks like a thin thread. How can it be? So the Beis HaLevi says, that's the psychology of people, that the grass is always green on the other side. So the tzaddikim who never violated the averis, so they have built up in their imagination such an image of the Yetzer Hara. It's gewaldic. The hanoah that will get it will violate the averis, be gewaldic. The Rishon violated the averis, and he saw nothing. This the tray for him tastes the same. The lobsters taste the same as the kosher lobsters. The tray for food tastes the same. The Eish HaSish is the same hanoah Salam Azeh he has from his own wife. It's no different. It's no different. So that's what's described over here. The Yetz HaDaas was Nechmad Lamar V'Tov L'Makol. Exactly the same description. They all tasted the same. The Pasuk wants to bring out this idea that Heter and Issa is basically the same Hanoas Olam Hazeh. One shouldn't think that you get more Hanoas Olam Hazeh. The Ribono Shel Olam is not really withholding us from any pleasure in this world. It's important, you have to have Ayitzav Hashem Alekim Al Ha'odam. You have to have Ayitzav. Up until that point, the Merishan is just like just part of the grid. Then the Baal Shem said, command, Ayitzav Hashem Alekim Al Ha'odam. So the Gemara understands that. That Pasuk, all the Sheva Mitzvahs been in Oya. That's in Pasuk Tezayin in chapter days. And when you don't have the Ayitzav, one man just decides on his own, that's the end of the parasha you have. Vayikro lahem nashim mikoyel asher bacharu. And they just do whatever they don't please, and that's the utter destruction of the whole world. That's the next verse it says. He's going to destroy the whole world. When they were doing things, whatever they pleased, they didn't feel any sense about Tzava Hashem Elokim al Adam. There's no Rabbanu Shalom commanding it. Just do whatever you please. And more hanoah. There were people who enjoyed eating so much, but there's only so much that you can eat. So they used to throw up at the end of the meal. They would vomit everything, then they'd eat some more. Then they would vomit everything and eat some more. So that's what we have today. People do it today. People don't have enough hanoah zalamazah, so they take Viagra and they take more. They sell on the radio. They keep on advertising all the things to get more pleasure in your married life. The guy has enough pleasure. What's wrong? How's he not have enough pleasure? No. That's like throwing up and eating again, or throwing up and eating again. There's a limit. So that's a b'china mikol ha-shebachor. People just want to have pleasure. And the Rabbanu Shalom wants it. It should be by Tzav Hashem Elokim Alot. It should be with a tzivoy Hashem, with mitzvahs. One can get the same hanoah ha-olam hazeh, reasonable, normal hanoah ha-olam hazeh, without violating averis and doing averis. These are some of the significant lessons that we should learn from. These parshas very okay. There's a lot more. Not for now.